Yes, I was going to say, you probably heard my message from this morning.
Yeah.
Is the music too loud now, Bill?
No, it's down a lot, so that's...
Okay.
See how that'll work. We have some music going in the background.
That's okay. I'm going to be lucky if I don't have a three-year-old kid going crazy.
Aha. Uh-huh. See, three already? Can't
yeah,
be.
Yeah, Callan's three.
Ooh.
And our nanny's sick, so guess he gets to stay home.
Hey, get some dad points, though.
That's right.
Terrific.
I think he's on his third round of watching Galaxy Quest.
Uh-oh. Terrific. Well, anyway, Sandy, you had obviously had some questions for Banger when you called him. So
I did.
I'll let you guys take care of that. We're just kind of recording all of this for the benefit of anybody who missed it and wanted to call in later and listen in. So.
Okay. Actually, why I was calling you is because of the menu accessories.
Mm-hmm.
The flipper merchandisers, we on our tables, we have these clear... stand-up things, I don't even know what they're called, table tents or something,
mm-hmm.
that we have two-sided. One is our specialty drinks and the other side is our dessert menu.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen some what I would consider would be the flipper merchandisers, like at Red Robin and places like that.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I want to change to. Man, they're good. They're good Target merchandising.
So they're like a mini menu that sits on the table?
Well, it's sort of like, if I'm understanding what you're saying, Sam, these are the things that are almost like if you took a three-ring binder
right.
and kind of flipped it inside out, you've got all these little pages and the rings on the top, and you can flip them over and
right.
and get several different things. Is that what
oh,
you're...
Oh, yeah, I know what you're
exactly.
talking
yeah.
yeah.
And then they're like, I guess they would probably be, I don't know if each one of them has a plastic... covering that you slide your point of market sales thing in there, or if it's laminated or what?
Yeah, I can send you samples of those things.
Okay, and then also our menus now are just the standard size menus, and they're in the clear the clear covers,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if those are your clear mom and pop covers or your Clearview Cafe covers.
Clearview Cafe covers have a little bit of leather.
Oh, I see. Okay. Then ours are probably the mom and pop covers because I just wanted them real plain. But they're not holding up very well. And when I was in Spokane, have you ever been to a place in Spokane called Frank's Diner?
No.
Have you, Bill?
No, I haven't.
Oh, geez. You ought to go there. Anyway, those are the kind of places that I target when I go out of town because that they're more like us.
Okay.
So that's where I can get ideas. But what they did is they took legal size paper and they folded it in half lengthwise, so their menus are really long and skinny.
Right.
And then they laminated them, and I was really impressed with them just because I like things that are different because they catch your eye, at least in my opinion. And I really like those menus. So I was hoping one of you had been there to see.
No,
what
but
they
I
were.
Done those kind of menus, so. It's pretty straightforward.
And then also...
So is there a question with these, or are these just...
Well, no, what I was getting to next is the book that I was talking to you about this morning, Bill.
Okay.
See, I just use the computer and do my own menus, and I was wondering if in your book you've got some ideas on setting up a menu that is that format.
Well, what book? And we were talking about the 50 Ways book.
Right, 50 proven ways to build a more profitable menu.
Yeah, what's in there is all the basic menu engineering information. What order
placement
do people read a page in? How do you flag items so that the people will order them, boxing and showcasing and shading and highlighting and categorizing and all things
okay.
like that.
Well, it sounds
so
like
it doesn't give you a menu, but it gives you
ideas.
It gives you the principles to lay it out with.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll work perfectly for what I need. I think it's going to be fine, no matter what size menu I decide to go with this.
Now,
time.
Have you two talked at all about your operation?
this is the first time I've talked to Banger.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it. I'd love to hear about it.
Tell a little bit more about what you're doing, because I think a lot of times that helps if you have some sort of anything you do has got to be appropriate for what you're doing. And there's a lot of different right answers. It just depends on what the best right answer is for you. And so tell them a little bit about your little operation on the border.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to him.
Oh, no.
Okay. It was a family diner that we purchased 3 years ago, or just about 3 years ago, that...
You're in Montana.
And we're in Montana. We're in a town of about 1,500 people, but we draw from a population of about 5,000. And so since we're right on the border of Canada, we're about 8 miles south of the Canadian border, and then we're about 50 miles north of Big Mountain Ski Resort. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's a pretty big ski resort here in Montana.
Uh-huh.
And then also Flathead Lake, which is another tourist draw, and Glacier Park, they're all to the south of us. So when people come through Canada, they have to come through our town. And we're right on the highway. We're right on the main drag, as it's called here, but it's in town. So my parking, we do not have good parking. We just have the town parallel parking in the front. But anyway... So this was just a little, it was called Lynn's Cafe when we moved here 17 years ago. And 3 years ago it came up for a bank, as a bank auction. It had sold this little cafe that had been here for years and years, had sold, and then the people that took it over tried to turn it into a Mexican restaurant, and it didn't succeed. So when we bought it at the bank auction 3 years ago, we turned it back into kind of the more of the diner atmosphere, mm-hmm. of what it was, except what I did, my family, I'm not from here, but my family is from here, and my grandfather was one of the founders of the town. So the restaurant's decorated in all old memorabilia of the town. We've got all the yearbooks, clear back to the first yearbook that was ever printed, you know, as our decor and stuff. And so people come in here to not only, well, that's one of the draws, but all we serve is, we've served breakfast and lunch. We don't have beer or wine. We don't have an alcohol license, liquor license of any sort, nor do we have gambling. Because we're also a border town, there is a lot of gambling in our town. So we have to compete with places. All of the restaurants around have alcohol and gambling that we compete with. So their greatest profit margin is in, of course, their alcohol and their gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And ours is only in food. So we've got a lot to compete with there. We seat about 75. In the summer, We run about 13 full-time employees. In the winter, it cuts back to about 5 full-time employees and 2 part-time. And our sales go down immensely in the winter, in the winter months. We've continued to grow from when we opened. I don't know what else to tell you.
Sandy, how much do you do a year?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that. I just knew it. Let me tell you. I got to look up. I can't tell you right off the cuff. I know.
Ballpark it?
I got, let's see. From January to June of 2000,
mm-hmm.
Are we going to talk net or gross?
No.
You want to know my net?
Just gross.
Gross is fine.
Was... 73,000, just about 70, a little over 73,000 for January through July. Our sales were 93,300.
So July was, I mean, you were 73 before that, so July was 20,000?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, July was 26,000. Anyway.
So So you're,
does that give you a ballpark?
You're
I've
July
got August,
and you're
yeah.
August. Your summer months are, what do you think, probably 70% of your sales?
Well, probably no. She's doing 26. She'd be doing 50. She did the same in August. She'd be doing 50 in July and August. Did 70 prior to that.
And September's still nice, right?
September is we're falling back in September.
But not as much as you are, say, in January.
No, totally not at all.
And are those, you know, obviously while you're reading books and you're talking to me is because you want to build sales. But is it a healthy so far? Is the restaurant healthy?
Well, I feel it's healthy.
Okay.
I don't know. See, as far as, gosh, I just feel so, like I just don't even know what to say to you guys. I don't really know what to compare it to.
Yeah.
You know, for our area, is it healthy? Yes, I feel it's healthy.
Well, you're not losing money.
No. We're not losing money.
No, that puts, that puts you ahead of a lot of people.
Well, is there? Do you have a plan? Is there a reason why you don't use do beer or wine?
We tried when we first opened to get a beer and wine license. In Montana, they go they rule according to population, and a new census count has been taken, but that won't come into effect until next fall. For right now, they have maxed out their beer and wine licenses for this area. There is something that they did just bring in, and which is called a cabaret license, which is also beer, wine, and gambling. It was to just generate new revenue in the state, but for seating of 75, the license itself was going to be $10,000 with a $400 a year renewal, and it's non-saleable. So I just didn't feel that we could ever that would ever benefit us. And we were open for dinner we tried dinner one whole year, the first year, and we just lost money the whole time. The second year.
So you're breakfast and lunch only?
Yes, now we are breakfast and lunch only. This summer we were also dinner Saturday and Sunday nights. They were our best nights, Sunday being our most profitable. But this last weekend was our last weekend for being open, and now we'll just through the winter especially, and I may just continue with that, just stay breakfast and lunch. For the reasons I've chosen that is less inventory, less staff, less headache, less time that I'm here, a lot of lesses, and I just didn't see any benefits.
So in the summer you're 7 days a week, in the wintertime you're five?
No, we're 7 days a week, year-round.
Year-round, okay.
Right, 7 a.m. till 3 p.m., and then just 4 on Sunday.
Pretty tight little business.
Well,
yeah, it is.
How many square feet do you have?
We have, oh, gosh. Now I'm embarrassed again.
75 seats, probably, what, 3,500? 4,000?
I was just going to tell you, I thought it was about 4,000 square feet.
Okay. And the menu you have now is in a clear jacket?
Yes.
And you do it in-house, right?
Yes.
And how do you do that?
I just, Microsoft Publisher is what I use.
Okay.
And we serve breakfast all day, so it's the same menu we have. Breakfast and lunch, all within the same menu. Breakfast is, when we present the menu to them, our new menu that I started, let's see, our first two menus I did like miniature newspapers, and that did not go well at all. We had too many complaints, and so then I went this route. And the last one that I did, it's you open up like a book, but then you've got that third page insert on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the front page is just our logo and a little bit about us. And then you open it up, and you've got the sandwiches. We've got a section for sandwiches, a section. We have been known for this. We do build your own burgers and build your own omelets that's kind of been one of our things that have taken off. People have seemed to enjoy that. So you open up the front page, you've got, if you split it in two, we've got burgers on the one half, and then it's called Between Two Slices on the other half, and which is our sandwiches. And then on the next page, the whole page is Let Us Begin, which are our salads. And then, not the whole page, two-thirds of the page. And then we just have a small section at the bottom that's our kids menu. I used to have a kids menu that we gave to them, and coloring and et cetera. But now instead, we went with this company called Kids Stuff, I think it is. And we give them a little toy and stuff instead now.
Do they still have color? Can they color?
Yeah, we just give them a coloring page and coloring crayons now. They don't. Pardon?
That's good.
And then the next page, we also have Mexican on our menu. So the next page is the House Especial, and it's just all our Mexican page. Then the inside to the last page is all of our daily specials, our breakfast and lunch daily specials. And then also, in addition to that, at lunch, every day we like now that it's fall and winter, we live in a logging community, so we've got a lot of a lot of people that like open-faced hot roast beef, hot turkey, you know, breaded veal, et cetera. So we do that in the winter, and then in the summer, then we go, we do a lighter side where we do diet platters or diet plates for lunch specials plus our daily lunch specials that we have year-round. So that's on that page. And then on the back page, and that's how we present the menu to them in the morning, is our breakfast menu. But it's called breakfast all day. So when after 11 o'clock hits, we present the menu to them face up, but okay. they can still, you know, flip it over, and then they see the whole breakfast menu.
If you were to give me a ballpark on the number of items that you have, how many? Sounds like you got a lot.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet you we have 50 items. 45, something like that. I don't know.
Do you have updated food costs for all of them?
Yes, I do, because I'm just going to be doing a new menu, so I've sat down with both of my suppliers, and I've just got I've got recent food costs on every item on the menu.
And who does your, who's your main suppliers?
Sysco and Food Services of America.
Okay, good. Typically, let me ramble a little bit, and then you can ask me more questions. Typically where I start is, and I'm not telling you this because I want to do business with you, I'm just telling you that this might be a good approach for you as well. I go through the menu and I take a look. Do you have a point of sale machine?
No.
So are they done by hand? All the tickets and stuff?
Oh, yes, they are.
Okay. Do you save those?
Uh-huh.
Well, one of the things that it's a laborious process, but it will, in my mind, dramatically improve your profitability, and that is to go back and take a look at, say, August or July.
Okay.
And take a look through every one of those tickets and have a sheet that has all of your items listed and put all the check marks by the items that you sell.
Okay.
And what that will do is it'll give you a mixed analysis to tell you what sells and when it sells. And the reason why I'm saying July or August, because it's your busiest month.
Correct.
You get a good representative that way. If you have 50 items, typically what happens is only about 50% of your menu will produce 90% of the items sold.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so typically what happens the most when I deal with actually anyone is that they have too much on their menu.
Correct.
So, but a diner typically has more. And it's not to say that I want you to eliminate 50% of your menu. It's just that I want you to eliminate those things off the menu that don't sell, it's not worth having, you're inventorying the item, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, you attach your gross profitability to it because you have your sale price, you have your food cost, and that gives you your gross profit.
Right.
In that way, the book, the stuff that you'll read in the book will tie directly in to that information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I normally do is I would design, I've designed templates before taking that information from the restaurant and done the menu and whatever they want me to do it in. In your case, it's publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And then give you back a layout that helps you or will at least be profitability smart.
Hmm.
So you have that option too. It's not, you know, go off on your own and do the whole thing, because typically the restaurateur doesn't have the time or the expertise to be able to pull that off.
Right.
You also have an enormous potential there for, from what it sounds like, in terms of the memorabilia and incorporating that a little bit into your menu.
Yeah.
You've been there a long time, right? Or the restaurant has?
The restaurant's been here for years and years, since the 40s.
And diners, in my mind, are kind of a diamond in the rough in a lot of ways. And if you can incorporate a lot of those things, that old-time feel, and be able to still do it in-house, but it's going to be a smart layout, then I think that would put you on the path to greater profitability.
I totally agree.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're doing all the right things, and I think that, you know, if the only part that concerns me is that hand tallying and all those kind of things, because it's just a pain to do, but I think it'll be worth your while.
Okay, I'm totally up for it. I think that's got to be the first step of me redoing the menu anyway.
Yeah, it could be
correct?
A good slow time duty. When's the last time that you changed your menu?
I changed it. It's been about 6 months.
And before that?
About 6 months. About every 6 months. This is our fifth menu, and we've been open for 2.5 years. It was July 1st in
98. Okay. Because typically, too, I recommend if you have the same design, you can change your menu whenever you want to, obviously, but seasonality and the market itself dictates when you should raise or lower or change items out.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be better off in capitalizing on the winter weather by having a winter menu with winter prices and a summer menu with summer prices.
Mm-hmm.
Summertime salads usually go up, and the wintertime salads usually go down.
Okay.
So just little tricks like that, and I think a lot of that stuff is in the book. And it will help you, but you know, I'm willing to help you in any way I can.
Okay. I'm always just so concerned about affordability.
Yeah.
That's why but yet on the other hand, this is kind of like what Bill and I were talking about this morning. How much do I do and how much do I let somebody else do? Because when I let somebody else do it, it allows me to be here. And when I'm doing it, I'm not here.
Well, it's that, but it's also, you know, if you get a template back, I mean, people ask me that all the time. Well, yeah, it costs you money to do that, but I think in terms of the time, the expertise, and everything else, you're getting a product back that you can actually use and then keep track of. And the important thing is then to stay up on those sales every week and every month.
Okay.
Know what you sell and what you don't sell.
Okay.
And without a machine, what I would do is use that as a slow time duty for a host or somebody who doesn't have anything to do.
Okay.
Start tallying up checks. Bill, do you agree? Or?
Yeah, no, that's the way we always did it, you know, because a lot of my operating time was before POS systems were very common, and that was one of the down duties for the greeters.
Yeah.
Was to just sit there and do the spread.
It may be, and this is something in the future for you, Sandy, is that it may be worthwhile finding a one or two sale point system that, yeah, again, it costs you money. But I also, what I found that they do is they increase your profitability and they drop your food costs by probably as much as 5 or 6%.
What is that exactly?
Just a machine.
It's like a computer system?
Yeah, and it just keeps, you know, it has all your information in it, so you can spit out at the end of the month, here's everything that I sold.
So that's instead of writing up a ticket, you punch in the ticket, correct?
So, yeah, instead of writing it up, the server puts it in, so it means that nothing, and then it prints up in the kitchen.
Okay.
So nothing gets made unless it's in the system.
Okay.
And I think your sales will go up because now that cup of coffee is being rung up.
Now, how do I even go about that?
Where I would start is there's got to be some cash register system type people in Montana somewhere close to you.
Okay.
And you might want to just take a little tour of some of the restaurants around there and see if they do have something like that. And I'm not talking anything that's really extravagant. There's different systems out there for different price points, obviously.
Okay.
There's a lot of things now that that can use existing computers.
Yeah.
It used to be that there was proprietary equipment, which made it a lot more expensive.
Okay.
Yeah, now most of them are Windows-based, and you may want to talk to your Cisco or your Food Services of America people about who they might recommend, because they deal with, you know, those people all the time.
Okay.
You may also be able to find, if you look at restaurant news and, you know, trade publications, a lot of times people will be upgrading a system and have a used one for sale.
Okay.
That might be fine for what you need, because
yeah.
you don't need a lot, but it's going to save you a lot of paper pushing.
Yeah, you said you had 13 people during your hot time. How many servers is that?
Well, we have servers and we have fountain girls, and so the fountain girls are the assistants, because we have a soda fountain, of course. So if you considered both of them, 6 servers and 3 fountain girls.
So you're probably talking 3 machines, Bill.
Well, it depends on how it's laid out.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
The most servers we ever have on at once is 3 and 1 fountain girl.
The most?
At one time.
So you might only need 2 machines. So they know that stuff. But I'm just giving you kind of things to think about. That can be done in the future, and then it would save you a lot of heartache. And you'd know what your sales were for that day, that hour, that week, or that year without looking through a balance sheet. It streamlines that whole process for you and will probably make your life a whole lot simpler.
I can imagine. I've considered it many times, but I've just always thought it was probably so far out of my reach that I should, you know, I just have always just discarded it as fast as possible.
Well, it's going to be a couple of bucks, but you can usually find some sort of a lease arrangement on it to spread payments out, and at least what I found is, like Banger was saying, that it'll probably pay for itself.
Well,
I think it pays for itself in the first year, no problem.
Well, that would be terrific, and I mean, I'm sure it's no different. I've invested a lot of money in upgrading my equipment, you know, as far as the kitchen and whatnot, so it'd be no different.
Yeah. I think it would really, really help you. Back to the issue of, and Bill, I'm not sure how you feel about it, but one of the things why I think dinner suffered is that you can't get a beer or a glass of wine there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I totally think that's the reason.
Yeah, I think that, you know, here's a $10,000 cash outlay and a $4,000 or $400 a year payment for it. When you get some bucks in the door and you're making a little bit more money, I think that would be the next thing that I'd begin to think about. And even though by next fall you might be ready for it.
I'm hoping next fall that our census count has gone up enough. I've already filled out the paperwork and have my name in, and hopefully by next fall that will be available.
Yeah.
Because the one through the state is $400. Period. $400 and then $400 a year. So it doesn't even compare.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, with those little tidbits, I think, I think you could do a lot to make your life easier, make more money, and be happier about it.
Well, I really appreciate it. Are you going to send me some information about some of the services, more than just this little bit that I got?
Yeah, are you computer savvy?
I'm not. I use a computer to do the menu, and that is it.
So you're not on the internet?
No.
Okay, I'll send you some stuff.
Okay.
Get on the internet, by the way.
Pardon me?
Get on the internet.
Yeah, I was gonna tell her that. I mean,
yeah.
I think that it's time that you do that.
Yeah, particularly particularly being as remote as you are. You will be staggered.
Really?
By the amount of information that's out there. And, you know, in the middle of the night, you need a recipe for something, you can just go online and find it.
I know that, you know, my son who's in college keeps telling me, and so many people keep telling me, you've really got to do it. And I just, there again, it's been one of those things I've just procrastinated on.
Well,
if you heard about Frank's Diner, one of the things that I would do is punch in Frank's Diner on the Internet and see if I can see it myself. So, I mean, that's the beauty of what the, and for the industry, you'll find a better price on equipment. There's lots of things.
Okay. All right, well.
So now that we've now got you in the hole.
now that you've spent any little bit that I have.
Spend it all.
Well, I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, I would, you know, I would think that with, if you're going to Big Mountain, do you have to go through your town?
Yes, you do.
So I would think that your wintertime, there's a tremendous opportunity in the wintertime for you to build your sales, too.
Now, when they go through you, they're on their headed home, or they're going to the mountain?
They're going, both ways. They have to come through here going both ways.
Is it the kind of thing where I go up there for the day and then come back?
No, you can go for the day, or you can go for a weekend, or you can go for a week.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. And actually, and then we've got a really good ski resort that has just opened up 50 miles north of us up in Canada. What we have found, or what we have seen in Eureka, is a lot of our Canadian trade bypasses Eureka and waits till they get to Whitefish, which is the extra hour, and they do most of their spending there.
Mm-hmm.
It's more the tourists. In the summer when we, you know, visit with our customers and whatnot, it's more the tourists that are coming from all other areas. They don't have just a destination point of 50 miles from here.
Yeah, okay.
And then the Canadian exchange is 40%, 39 to 40% right now, and so that has also hurt our little town. I mean, we've got businesses going out of business regularly here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Sounds like Sumas, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sumas is a little town up north that's right on the Canadian border on the Washington side that
oh, really?
Kind of going through the same heartache. And with the value of the dollar, it's just hurt their little town.
Yeah, the value of the dollar has definitely hurt. Mm-hmm. We've got the other thing that's hurt is the timber industry's is suffering a lot right now. I don't know how much you've probably from where you're from, you don't ever hear about that, but we've got mills closing down all around us. We've got loggers who are being shut down.
Spotted owl.
Yeah, that was a few years back. We don't hear too much about the spotted owl anymore, but there's so many things, so many political things that are causing, you know, this area we're going through some changes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if we can just stick it out and make it through, in a few years down the road, we're going to see an incredible change in the area.
Danny, do you have a fact?
Yes, I do.
Can you
believe
me?
I have a fax?
Whoa.
Awesome. Can you fax me your information?
Sure.
Just, you know, contact, address, all that kind of stuff?
Sure, I will.
And address where I need to send this stuff to?
Yes, I've got yours here, and I'll send it on.
Cool.
I don't expect it right now.
That's okay.
I'll do that a little later.
You're moving.
On.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. Well, I really appreciate this.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know if you want to stay on and chat. We can certainly do that. If you've got the things you need to get on to, I will. I mean, the whole idea of the teleconference was a sort of a drop-in sort of a deal.
Excuse me a second. Somebody was just talking to me. Would you repeat what you just said?
Well, no, I was just saying sounded like you were headed off.
Yeah, now all of a sudden I just had my rep come in and
okay.
You know, the typical stuff.
Yeah, okay. I know how that works.
Anyway, thanks a lot. I can't believe I was the only one on this teleconference. I'll make sure and...
You're special.
Yeah, I guess I am. I guess I'll consider it as that today.
Consider it a consulting session.
All right, yes, I will. Thank you very much.
Great.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Danny.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bill?
Yes, sir.
So, what else?
Well, I was just wondering if there was anything that, you know, we talked about a lot of things when we did the tape, and certainly there were a number of things that we never did get to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if there's anything else that's come to mind that we should at least get on the record somewhere for the...
Well, you know, a lady told me, I can't remember who it was, she was a lady from... I want to say Michigan, and she felt that everybody that was in that book would charge too big a dollars.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she said, you know, you ought to let people know that you do work for small guys. And I said, well, it's in there, but it's just, you know, people think you wrote a book, you're expensive.
Interesting.
Which I thought was, yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
And it's, and I think if anything that you and I do is to target more. Hey, here's a lady who does, you know, $20,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
and the things that we could help her with impacts her more than the big people.
That's true.
So,
and you also have to help them in a little different way.
Oh, sure, you do.
You know, I mean, that's really the reason that thing that gravitated me towards speaking was it was the only really effective way that I could provide information to independent operators because they really couldn't afford to bring me in,
right?
You know, as a dedicated consultant.
Right.
So I just look at speaking as group consulting.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you doing much speaking now?
No, I've been too busy doing day-to-day stuff.
Hmm.
And, but it's, you know, a lot of the stuff that, you know, I've been preaching, it's kind of fun to have these people call me back and say, hey, it worked.
It worked. What a concept.
Which, you know, and that's the rub on it, is that I know it works, and if people just followed some of those, if they just read that book and applied one or two things, they would, you know, they'd be all for the better in terms of profitability.
Well, I got a note. I don't know if you saw that one in the electronic house call from Tom Martin down in Clovis, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a tape in the series, probably back in the summer, Phyllis Ann Marshall, about value engineering and changes that you can make that would increase sales 10 to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a note from Tom, and he said, you know, Jim Laub was talking to me about the same sort of things 2 years ago, and I never did anything about it, and I just took this as kind of a wake-up call, so I kind of dilly-dallied around for a while and then finally decided, well, why not? And I made the changes. Said I was up 24% the first week, 18% over that the second week.
Hmm.
And all of that was there for me for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I never did it. And what I would hope might come out of this is that, you know, people get, you know, it's fine to have a great idea, but the universe rewards action. Now, what I get concerned about is that sometimes if we may be feeding people information too fast.
Too much.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of newsletters that I get, and it's incredible stuff, but it takes a while to assimilate it. And before I get October is assimilated, you know, here comes November, and then, you know.
Well, you're also dealing in a world that you don't get the true results of your period until 2 weeks after the period ends, and then it's too late to make any changes you want.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, I hear you as far as that goes, because I think it's, you know, when there's too much information, where do I start? And that's one of the things that I've encouraged Jim to do, is to say, you know, I'll be willing to share with you, and you too, any kind of results that come out of whatever I do. So let's say that here are the six things that we did, and here are the results. It's not here, this is what you do, see you later, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's here's somebody, you could take that gentleman's quote and use that as part of your speaking time. Is to talk to, okay, here's what we told him to do, here's what he's gone out and done, and here's what the results were, and this is how he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, geez, hit them over the head with it.
Yeah.
It does work. The same thing with menus. I mean, if you show people, okay, here's a before and here's an after, and this is the results that happened, and they go, wow, it really does make a difference, and they do it.
Well, that I think, ultimately becomes the challenge, is just how to move into action.
Right.
And I appreciate the plight of the independent operator who's trying to wear too many hats at the same time and
mm-hmm.
juggle too many balls.
And that's where you and I come in to help them, is to say, you know, look, you've been doing it in-house. You've been doing it, and the lady, you know, Sandy was right. When she's doing it, she's not in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try and, you know, if somebody doesn't have food costs, well, let me send in a chef. I'll have him do it in a day. What would take you a month
yeah.
to do? And that's the whole, you know, the whole rub is where that comes to having the time to do it. I mean, Sandy could probably benefit, I would say, at least 10% in sales and be more profitable in terms of food costs with a machine.
Mm-hmm.
That coffee will get rung up now at $1 a piece.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that, you know, things, they slip too much. People get too busy. They can't remember that they had a milk there on that table.
Well, and there's still, and the only way a good way I've seen for that to work is to either set up a machine so it'll force a beverage.
Right.
You got to do something, because so much of that is material that's that the waitresses just pick up on their own. It doesn't have to go through the kitchen.
Right. Well.
Interesting.
Very. Where are you right now?
I'm finally home.
You're home.
Yeah, I'm home for the rest of the year. Is pretty much what it looks like.
Well,
so maybe I'll finally get moved into my office.
Yeah.
God, I tell you, this traveling is a wonderful thing, but it does kind of raise hell with, you know, with the move.
Oh yeah. No kidding.
So that works. So your son is 3.
Son is 3. Natalie's 7. She's at school.
Uh-huh.
Thank God she is, because when those two are together, it's, you know, constant battle.
Wow.
But what kind of feedback did you get on the stuff that you sent out?
Typically, I don't hear a lot, but, you know, what I've heard has been great. People said, you know, they've commented on that one specifically.
Oh, good.
Said, I really like the menu stuff. I did talk to a guy in Buffalo today that I thought was going to call in, because he said, geez, he's just about to do a new menu. So this probably is a good time for that topic as well.
Yeah, they're, you know, most of the time, I get real busy at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And I get, not so much now, because everybody's so busy working their parties for the holidays, but after the first of the year, everybody's starting to think, okay, now I got to start working on a menu and get this thing out by March. So it's funny, it's the cycle that happens every year.
Yeah.
And it's smart, because they're using the downtime to make themselves better, slower time.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I think, let me just see where we are here. I think we're still working. Well, we're about 45 minutes. I think that's respectable enough for what we need. Your son seems to have stayed quiet.
Yeah, I'm sure he's on his second round of Galaxy Quest or something.
Okay. Terrific. Well, listen, I appreciate you making the time. Hope something.
Well, you know me, anytime.
Okay. Well, we'll work it out.
All right.
And thanks for all your help on this.